Right, so the Ulster Rally 2017, the John Mulholland Motors Ulster Rally, to give it its full title, revs into action. 18th and 19th of August, two blistering days of rallying with over 100 of the world's top rally crews blazing a trail over 400 miles of Ulster's toughest tarmac. It starts at Derry's Guildhall Square at 1 p.m. Then you can follow the action over 14 stages, great spectator locations up there, and finishing back in Derryhay at Eglinton Square on the Saturday evening. And the man who gave his name to the whole event, John Mulholland, joins me now on the programme. John, thank you for your patience. Good morning.
Good morning, Ivan. How are you?
I'm extremely well. This is an exciting development for you.
Well, we've been involved in rallying for, I've been a competitor myself for over 33 years. We've been involved in the motor trade nearly as long, both in Randallstown and Campsie. And we thought this was an ideal opportunity for us to give something back to the sport that we've enjoyed for such a long time.
Whenever you get this close to it again, John, does it not give you itchy feet? Do you not want to be back in the seat again competing yourself?
Well, I actually am competing, and which is quite rare for a major sponsor to compete in such an event. I think this is my 25th year of competing in the Ulster Rally. So we have been doing the Irish Tarmac Championship ourselves actively over the last 2 years. So we're out in one of the very latest cars, a Skoda R5 Fabia, and we'll be competing on the event also.
Those new Fabias have been getting a very good press, so you must feel you've got a piece of equipment that can make an impact.
Well, it is a fabulous car. I have the constraints of trying to run a business as well, so it's very much a hobby with me. But the current British Rally Championship leader is a guy called Frederick Allen and his co-driver Torsten Eriksen. Now, they're coming over from Sweden and they're in an identical car to ours. So I'm not saying I'll be an also-ran, but you know, if we could get anywhere close to the top 10 or 12, we'd be delighted. But Frederick will give the local boys a good run for their money in a Skoda.
And up on the tarmac around Derry, the local boys are going to have some specialist knowledge, aren't they?
Well, we only get to get two runs over the stages one day before the event. You can talk about local knowledge, but the organisers of the event do change it. It's not the same event run or same stages run every year, so it is new to us. We don't know what we're going to see until we do that recce before the event. But Alistair Fisher and Gordon Noble from Fermanagh, they've entered in the equivalent car, which is a Ford Fiesta R5, and they're defending a 7-point lead at the minute in the Irish Championship. Some local guys as well, Sam Moffat and Carl Atkinson. You know, it will be a frenetic race now to the finish.
Now, you say you've been involved in this for 33 years. So the machinery you would have started with all those years ago would have been very different to what we have today. How did you begin?
Oh, God. Began with nothing, really. The cars that we started rallying with over 30 years ago, honestly, Ivan, you wouldn't take them down the street today. Safety measures that are involved now. I mean, all the cars have to go through a scrutiny test, as they did back then, but it was nothing like it is today. I mean, safety is paramount to the sport, both for the crews and for spectators. And it's like everything, the technology in the cars today. I mean, the car I'm driving, it is a Skoda Fabia, but it would bear no resemblance, bar the body, to the car that you would buy in our showrooms today. I mean, you've got things like launch control in the cars, you have anti-lag, you have traction control, you have four-wheel drive, they're turbocharged, but the technology, you know, sequential gearboxes, so you don't use the clutch really once you take the car off the line from the launch control, you don't use the clutch, you just bang, 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 and she's up the gearbox or down the gearbox, and that's all to save time.
Well, of course, time is of the essence, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not necessarily the time that it's the quickest man from corner to corner. The car will accelerate on the straight, and it's to try and get that car to accelerate as quickly as it can up the straight, brake as hard as you can coming into the corner, and then as quick as you can get out of that. The cars aren't necessarily all about top speed. They're probably limited to, the quickest cars are somewhere between 118 and 120 mile an hour. But if you're doing that speed down an Irish country road or over a stage like Rooski, it's a spectacle to watch now.
John, I'm having a bit of a stab in the dark here with the timeline, but I'm trying to visualise the sort of cars that were around when you started. Was that the era when the RS2000s and the Mexicos and things were king?
Oh, yes, it would have been. And back in the day, I remember as a boy getting a bus over to Ormo Park and watching no less than 160 crews come through the Ormo Park for the Circuit of Ireland Rally. You had the Mark 1 escorts, Mark 2 escorts. You had a Vauxhall or Avengers. You had Vauxhall Chevettes. I could go on and on. But then we moved very quickly into the Group B era, and I feel privileged to have been part of that rally scene, and that's when the thing just went. The FIA threw the rule book out and let manufacturers give them free will, basically, to do what they want. And with cars with over 600 brake horsepower, I remember in the Ulster Rally vividly Walter Rohrl coming over in the Audi Sport short wheelbase Quattro. That car had over 600 brake horsepower, and anybody that remembers that, it left an indelible mark in one's mind for the rest of your life. It was just absolutely phenomenal. You had the Ford RS200s, you had the Metro 6R4s, you had the Lancia Deltas, as I say, you had the Quattros, and that was the time that rallying just was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, and the Subarus as well, they were in there, weren't they?
You then moved on, Ivan, from the Group Bs, because unfortunately there was a few fatalities and the cars were just getting, cars were more in the air than they were on the ground, and they then banned them. So then we went back to basically Group A, and then you had the Group A Subaru Impreza, which we all know was made very famous with Colin McRae. Those famous blue Imprezas, and Bertie Fisher had some great successes with them. Andrew Nesbitt in this country as well, some fabulous drivers. And we went on then from Group A, and on it went, and up right up to today, to the cars of today, which would be an R5 class and an R2 class. So the R5 class is a 1600cc turbocharged car, but those cars are putting out in excess of 300 horsepower today. Very quick, very rapid cars, phenomenal brakes on them. And as I say, when they sit on the start line with the launch control, this is a button you literally hit. You engage the car into gear and you just let her off the line, so you do, and she's away.
There's somebody wanting to buy one off you, John. You mentioned there the 6R4. I was once driven round, and I use the word advisedly, the Nuts Corner circuit in a 6R4. I've never experienced backlift like it, and I've never been more frightened in a car than I was that day. So, you really need people who know what they're doing driving these vehicles, don't you?
Well, those cars were designed, you had Austin Rover Group at the time, Ivan, and they had Williams Formula One team basically design the engine for that car.
Yeah.
So you had, if you can imagine, a Metro 6R4 basically pumped up on steroids, so they increased the wheelbase lightly and widened the track. They put composite panels on the car, so they took, it was like carbon fibre panels, big wing on the back, no power steering, and then plonked basically a derivative of a Formula One engine into the back of the car and told the guy to try and drive it up the road as fast as he could, as I say, with no power steering. So these guys were heroes, absolute heroes. Di Llewellyn, a Welsh guy who came over here and competed on the Ulster International Rally numerous times. I remember him in the Computer Vision 6R4. To try and get in and even turn the steering in these cars was like trying to turn the steering in a Seddon Atkinson truck back then, fully loaded with no power steering. And then again, as I say, anything up to 600 brake horsepower sitting behind you, you were just sitting on a rocket.
You were, absolutely so. The John Mulholland Motors Ulster Rally revs into action on the 18th and 19th of August. Two blistering days of tarmac treats. John, thanks for setting the scene for us this morning, and I wish you well in your endeavours.
Thank you very much, and I would encourage everybody to come out. And this is a great family day out in Ebrington Square. You will see the drivers all coming in numerous times over the 2 days. You'll see the work service crews working on the cars. You know, it's a great day out for all the family, and it's a free day out. So, you know, so you can go and watch the rally in any of the stages. I would encourage you to buy a rally pack. There's designated spectator areas for the spectators to stand safely, and it's a spectacle to watch. These new R5 and R2 cars, as I say, this is the only event in the UK that represents three championships. The FIA Celtic Trophy Championship, the Prestone British Rally Championship, and the Clonakilty Irish Tarmac Championship. So you have drivers competing for trophies on all those events.
John, your gentleman, the scholar, thanks very much for coming on.
Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks, Ivan. Cheers.